Listen, I'm all about opinions. We all have one. I have some strong opinions myself. I believe there's a right way to interpret the Word of God, and there's a self way to interpret the Word of God. But when all is said and done, whatever we do all to the glory of God, and we do it together. Put that up. This is not about our individual creeds and calls and our way and our method and our delivery. We are all unique in the sight of God, and we've been blessed to do what we do best. But there is a dignity and there is a destiny that is bigger than myself. Did you hear me? There is a dignity, you heard me, and a destiny that is bigger than myself. When it is all said and done, it is about the corporate unity, the corporate power, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity that works in us and through us and represents the church and the body and this great entity called the Church of the Living God. Acts chapter 20, verse 1. Say this with me. And after the uproar, say it again. And after the uproar, say it again. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto himself the disciples, and embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. Verse 22, they have been in an upper room, man, they have been sounding the praises, the glories of God. Paul starts to preach. It's somewhere about midnight, and a young man by the name of Eutychus falls asleep, and he falls out of a third-story window. Paul doesn't miss a beat. The spiritual works in the practical. And he makes his way down to the ground and he prays a prayer of faith, and this young man is raised up into a great and living testimony of the power and the glory of God. I want that in my life, don't you? And now, Paul said, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Say these next four words with me. Not knowing the things. I've got it all together. Just ask me and I'll tell you. I know all there is to know. I've researched the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. I've got a clue for some of you. And for myself, sometimes I'm jacked up and I just don't know. They don't know. Paul said this. The things that shall befall me there. Verse 29. After his preaching, his teaching, his delivering, he said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. And here it is. This goes all the way back to the first thing that I said. Not sparing the flock. We are a corporate body. Yes. Not sparing the flock. Verse 30 and 31. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples. Two key words, after them, after them, after them, after them, after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years. I wept and I cried and I moaned. And I admonished you in the Holy Spirit with many tears. One more verse. Is it there? Was that the last one? I'll get to the next one in a minute. Father, you're worthy today. I ask you to give us a move of your Spirit, your power, divine deliverance, and the holiness of who you are. I pray, God, teach us through the Word, encourage us, and we may leave here knowing that we are indeed the body of Christ, and that you care, and that you love us. Whatever condition we are in, whatever we were in, but whatever we were going through when we came through that door, and when we leave here, we can leave here better than when we came in. Why? Because your way is better. In Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20 are two of the most powerful chapters in all the Word of God. They are as powerful as Acts chapter 2 because Acts chapter 2 is being manifested and it comes to life in Acts 19 and 20. For when you are baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit and God resides and lives inside you, it is indeed something to celebrate. But can I also share with you that when the power of the living God lives in you and lives in His church, that attacks will come. The enemy will raise his head. He is easy to be seen. He is easy to be heard. He is easy to be recognized. And God has called the church with power to know how to deal with such enemies. So as we leave Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, we find that Demetrius is a silversmith, and the word says in the 19th chapter, Brenda, that he has caused an uproar, an uproar. His obsession, Josh, is with a goddess by the name of Diana, who does not exist. His obsession is with something that does not exist. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, it does not exist. So it is that many times the uproar of our soul, the commotion in your mind, the complexity of your own emotion facilitates itself, magnifies things that in reality do not exist. The word says that for 2 hours that they cried out, they shouted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." I would to God that we could get the church to shout for 2 minutes, "Greater is He that is in me, that is in the world." That's a good spot to stop right now and give Him praise and honor Him. If the world can shout for 2 hours over LeBron James, if the world can shout for 2 hours over the Atlanta Braves, if the world can pay attention to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber and Adele and Alabama and Auburn, surely we can get someone up in this house that can lift your voice on a Sunday morning, that can sprint a sprint, that can shout a shout and magnify the one who is forever holy and worthy of our praise. Hey, let's start it out right today. Amen. Hey, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you and rose from the grave. You see, Diana was identified with Semiramis. Going back hundreds of years before Jesus, she was the queen of Babylon. Some say, get this, that she was the wife and the mother of Nimrod. But the Holy Scripture says that my identity, my today and my tomorrow, is found in the sonship of the living God. John 1 and 12 said, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave right to become children of God." Tell someone, that's my identity. It was Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 that what Paul said. He predestined us to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. It was Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 that said, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and over every authority. It was God himself that spoke through the prophet Jeremiah and said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." I came by to speak over somebody today and tell you one more time that God has appointed you for who you are and where you are in this moment in time and in his kingdom. After the uproar, after the trouble, after divisive voices, God said, "I want to remind you one more time who you are." If we can shout over a two-hour debate on television, if 2 hours of remodel your own house, who's got time to do that? We ought to be able to worship and shout over who we are in Jesus Christ. This world is as mixed up over its loyalties as it's ever been. I mean, we are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. People are losing their mind. Sanity has lost its grip. Let me say this boldly. If you're using this statement, you need to stop it, because it is a devilish lie. Perception has never been reality. How do you know, Pastor? Because I'm telling you this morning, the devil himself had a mixed up perception on what he thought was happening in the heavenlies, who he thought he was, what kind of voice he thought he had, and what he could speak into the kingdom of God. And it took probably a nanosecond or less, and he was expelled from the heavens and the presence of the Almighty God. The word tells us that Demetrius, he has this power in Acts 19 with living men, even though he sacrifices and builds dead idols. You can have the perception of man. You can have the favor of man and not know what it is to live within the will and the favor and the blessing of an incredibly holy God. Hey, if all of Alabama is shouting Diana, can I get one person at Summerton that can be heard singing, "Jesus is the answer for the world today. Erica, above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way." Can I get one person in this house that's willing to shout and to declare that I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never, ever, ever, ever fail. If the world can declare the glories of gods that do not exist, surely we can praise him in this house over who the one and only living God really is. Amen. Well, lift your hands and praise him, Summerton. Diana won't ever get you there. Man-made heroes and idols will never get you there. And let me say this morning, please be more passionate about Jesus than you are the mechanics of the church. Somebody said, say it a little louder. Please be more passionate about Jesus than you are the mechanics of the church. God will take care of you. Let the voice of the Lord confirm his word in his will. Listen, you know me by now. I'm kind of energetic on Sunday morning. And I'm an emotional person behind the pulpit. But you know enough to know that I am not into the kooky. I don't believe in man-made spiritualism. But I do believe in the demonstration of power, and I do believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that if God spoke through a donkey, through an ass in the Old Testament, that he can speak through you. There is a difference between religion and a life experience with a living God. There is a difference between the prophetic and trying to impose your will on other people. Nobody who is religious ever wants to be told they are religious. Some Pharisees, I tell you this morning, they have taken a bad rap. Most of the Pharisees loved God and pursued after God. Their eyes were blinded and they needed a Savior in Jesus Christ. But there were some Pharisees, they were some wicked church members. Not everything we call prophetic is prophetic in specifics. Not everything we call God is God. That's yesterday, 35 years ago, and that's today, and that's tomorrow. There will always be wolves in sheep's clothing that are after the genuineness of the Almighty God. Well, Pastor, I think you're trying to cause an uproar. Not at all. It was not my intention. That's not where this came from. You know what I want to know, Joey? I want to know who knows how to stand with me through it all. I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about you. Who will stand with you when you've been through it all? Who will stand with you when you've heard the voice of God speak in your prayer closet? Anybody can call on God in public, but who's been praying and seeking the will and the favor and the direction of a mighty God where it matters the most? Acts chapter 20, verse 1. Dr. Luke said this, after the uproar. Tell somebody, the uproar cannot keep me from my destiny. The uproar cannot keep me from my destiny. I like those kind of people, don't you? When I've been through something, they've been through it with me. When I've been in revival or renewal, they've been in revival and renewal with me. If I've been healed, they prayed for anybody on this stage ever been healed? God touched you. When I had to go through my sickness and my tough time and my illness, there were some who fled and left me and walked away. But in the uproar of my need, they prayed through and they touched the hem of his garment until God touched me and healed me. Give me a church like that. Give me something like that. Give me the power and the presence of God like that. When I've been through hell, they came fighting right beside me until I got out of hell. They never thought about running. They never thought about looking back. They never thought about leaving because they didn't get their way. I need somebody like that. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and Paul is on his way to Rome. And it doesn't take a lot of common sense to know that this message has a destiny that is bigger than the uproar. People like that don't get sidetracked one year after the other, and tactical diversions of the enemy do not ruffle their feathers. Having done all to stand, they stand in the power and the might and the glory of the Holy God. Hey, I feel him in this house. Lift your hands and praise him today. Josh, what are people like that? What do they look like? What do they sound like? They are Ephesians 6 and 10. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. They are Colossians 2 and 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. They are Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself. As I read that scripture again this morning, I shouted in my own bedroom. Who is the chief cornerstone? Nobody. Nobody but Jesus. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You've heard it, and you'll hear it again. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He is the cornerstone of who and what we are. If we shout anything, let somebody right now shout Jesus in this house. Hey, people like this that stand in the uproar, they're too busy being Jude 1:20 to be petty and childish and ignorant. Building themselves up in their most holy faith and praying in what? The Holy Ghost. I walked into this room. I thought about it then. And I said, no, I won't say anything. I won't draw attention. I don't want to embarrass her. But I heard Jody. You're Jody. That's Joey. Yeah, I get y'all. Jody. I heard Jody walk in this front. About every time she'd make this circle over here, she was either praying favor and blessing over this church, she was praying that the enemy have no voice or control, and she was praying in the Holy Spirit. Listen, I know some of us, we're afraid of tongues. We don't know what to do with tongues. We act like we've not been in an environment of tongues our entire life. You know what I simply believe that tongues are or is? It's the voice of a holy God that was restored to his people on the day of Pentecost. And when we don't know what to pray for as we are, the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession with us and for us and through us. And he prays the will of God the Father so that when we don't know what to do in the uproar, praise God, he always knows what. Hey! They're too busy being Psalms 1:3, planted like a tree by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, it will prosper. They're too busy being Psalms 92:13. They've spent their time being planted in the house of the Lord and flourishing in the courts of our God. That's some right here, right now. How many of you are flourishing in the courts of the Lord this morning? How many of you know God's been good to you? God's hand is on you. God is with you, and he's worth. Woo. They're too busy being Luke 6:48, laying the foundation on a rock that when the flood arose, when the storm came, Brother Kevin, and beat upon the house of the Lord, Kevin, that they are flourishing in the courts of the Lord, laying the foundation on a rock. When it built upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. They are too busy being Colossians 1:23, grounded and settled in the faith to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. I'm giving you word this morning. Some of you may need to write it down. They are too busy being 1 Corinthians 15:58, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their labor in the Lord is not in vain. Those I've just described to you, the people of the Lord that know how to stand with you through an uproar. You going through an uproar in your life, get right with God. Get your act together. Treat people right that you've hurt. Overcome the enemy. Overcome his voice. Listen to the voice. I've been talking to you about the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hear the voice of the Lord in your life. Hey, anybody here go through a pandemic? Those are the kind of people that know how to stand with you through the pandemic. Some receive different results than others. I can't explain some of that stuff. I don't know. I lost some good friends. Some of you lost those closest to you. But I tell you this, no matter what you've been through, what you're going through, God has sent some people your way that stood with you and will stand with you through your storm, through your trial, through your toughest situation in life. God will surround you if you're genuine and you're right with him. How many of you in this house, you ever been through
a Clint Eastwood movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Yeah. Josh, come help me. Stand right there, if you would. It's been a while. I just wanted to welcome you back. Back a little bit. Back a little bit. Jeremy, come help me. Come here over there. Just all y'all, come help me. Just give me one over here. John, come help me right here. Just straight across. Yeah. Paul said, when I've been going through some of the toughest storms in my life, when I've been going through an uproar in Ephesus, he might have felt like some of us felt. It's just me in the world. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's paying attention to my cause. I'm trying to get through to you. Nobody's here. I'm by myself. I'm the lone voice, the lone wolf in the wilderness. Paul said, I want to remind you, Paul, that Sopater didn't leave you. You know what Sopater means? It means saved. In other words, Paul, you can go through hell on earth, but I'll put somebody beside you that's really saved. And their name means salvation. I'll surround you with salvation. When everything else is dark, it seems hopeless. And it feels like you've lost access to everything that you know is real and that brings hope. God said, I'll surround you with salvation. He said, but also there's Aristarchus. And he said, Aristarchus means best. So while the devil's trying to put you through hell and put you through the worst, and I said, I still surround you with all that's good and all that's holy and all that's right. The world may be against you, but I've still got you surrounded by the best that heaven has to offer. I'll surround you with Secundus. Secundus means favor, the favor of the Lord. While the enemy's trying to destroy you, I'll put favor around you. But not only that, he said, I'll cover you and I'll surround you with Gaius. And Gaius means rejoicing. I'll sing my song. I'll lift up my voice. When I'm going through the toughest time of my life, I can rejoice in the one who is faithful. And then there's Timothy. There's Timothy. I'll surround you with Timothy, or Timothina, might be the case. But Timothy means honor. When you've gone through hell on earth, and you feel like you've... And nobody else is with you. You feel like the walls are caving in. God said, don't lose your honor. I won't let you lose your honor. I'll surround you with some men and women that know how to honor God in the good and honor God in the bad. I'll surround you with Tychicus. Tychicus means a faithful. Faithful. I'll surround you with faithful. Nick's not a big talker. Well, he may be outside the church, but he's kind of reserved and kind of like my style of ministry, just reserved, low-key, no. But he's faithful. He's on this stage today. He represents the younger generation, and they're singing the high praises of God. I'm glad that he walks through those doors every Sunday, and he lifts up a voice of praise. And then there's Trophimus. Trophimus means educated. Some smart people, people with wisdom that love God. God, give us everything, but most of all, give us wisdom. Amen. People like Jim and Brenda Dodd that lift you up. I love them because they come to me with a smile on their face, and I believe they're genuine. I believe they're meant, Pastor, man, we want the blessings of God. Preach the word of God. This morning in the hallway, she didn't pay me to say this. She said, hey, listen, are you preaching this? I said, I am. She said, I'm so glad. I said, I am too. How many of you have been through some tough times in your life? You've been through some struggles. Aren't you glad that God's hand is still with you? I just came to remind you today that God loves you. And you may not believe it. Kind of cut me in for like a group hug, but don't hug me. I'm thankful today that we can go through the uproars of life. Is this making any sense to you, I believe? We go through the uproar of personal struggles, personal battles, and church times where we struggle. We go through revival and renewal like we did, but we also go through times when the world is persecuting the church and the body. But if we'll stand together, God will surround us with favor and those who know how to connect to Him, and He will bless us through it all. Will somebody clap your hands and praise Him in this house today? Thank you, God. He'll try to trip you up with your own shoestrings. Listen. I'm trying to count. Does anybody have my back? Can I just get one? God said you stop counting too soon. I put 7 around you that know the voice of God. One of my favorite stories in all the world, Elisha's servant thought they were surrounded. They were out in the midst of Syria. He thought that Syria had them surrounded. He went out and all he could see was the enemy as far as he could see. And he went back and he told Elisha, he said, hey, man, we're surrounded. We're doomed. It's just the two of us against them. And the word said that Elisha, a man close to God's heart, he prayed that the eyes of his, I'm praying today that the eyes of God's servant will be opened. And when he went back out again, he came in and he said, hey, there are angels sitting on chariots of fire all around us. There are more for us than there are against us. God is faithful in the uproar. Do we really understand that Gideon took an army of 300 after he lost 32,000 and they defeat an enemy of 135,000 Midianites? Why? Because destiny is bigger than your battle. If you're going through a battle, if you're going through a fight, if you're going through a season of questions right now, would you lift your hand? Lift your hand in this house. Lift your hand toward them and pray right now, God, your destiny is bigger than your battle. Your God is bigger than your enemy. God's favor is on your life. Hey. God's about to give somebody something in this house. When God got ready to give Israel the promised land, we did a series on this just a few months ago. He said, I'm about to put 7 enemies in your hand. The Girgashites, the Hivites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. You've been tempted to cave into the uproar. You've watched others fall by the wayside. Listen to what the Word of God said on those 7 enemies. He said, make no covenant with them and show them no mercy. You know how I believe you show no mercy? I don't believe you do it with an attitude of contempt, an attitude of cursing, an attitude of fussing, an attitude of fighting, an attitude of I'm so superior to you because I've arrived. You take your stand for God. You make your stand for God. You put your life in the hands of God. And you are resolute and you are solid in your faith and your belief that God will take care of you. You will love them. But that does not mean you have to show them mercy and make a covenant with them. And I'll tell you this today. I have determined in my heart and my life, I know the sights and the sounds of religion. I know the sights and the sounds of hypocrisy. I know the sights and the sounds of those who are lost in anything and every idol. But I also know the sound of those who know the sound of battle, they know the war cry, they know the faithfulness of God, and they have made up their mind, come hell or high water, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let the uproar come, let the uproar go. We will be faithful and we will live for God. Amen? Stand with me all over this house. So much more. I need to know. Oh, I already know. You don't have to tell me. But I say this symbolically. I say this in regard to all of us. That we need. We need people around us who can speak life instead of death. I'm speaking to those today, you're still living in tombs with dead people, like the maniac of Gadara. You don't even realize that you're talking about dead things, speaking dead things over your own life, your own body, your own mind, your own family. And the word said they've sailed with Paul past Ephesus in order to get to a move of God, a Pentecostal outpouring. Am I speaking to anyone in this house that you know how to sail by some things? There are times when it's best just to sail on by. Lionel Richie, that great psalmist and Christian songwriter, said, sail on, sugar. Some things, Jim, are just not worth my time. Doesn't mean I don't love, I don't care. It's not worth my energy. Sometimes we become legends in our own mind. And the focus and the glory has to go back to God. Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. We expect pastors and boards and staff and Philip and Nicole Walker to have all the answers. Have everything figured out. If you have vision, you'll know it. Paul said, we didn't know what would hit us. We knew that God would keep us. My favorite verse, I remember when Dad pastored North Chattanooga. We lived in an old house downtown, and the garage was not finished in, and the steps went up to the kitchen. And I remember getting ready for revivals, Josh, and getting ready for conferences. And I remember walking, before I ever met Kelly, I remember walking that concrete floor among those timbers, among those wooden beams, and I quote this scripture again and again. Paul said, though we didn't know what was coming, none of these things moved me, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, that's my destiny, will testify forever about the grace of a loving God. Ooh. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Paul said, none of these things move me. Maybe it's you this morning. We get ready to move into our time of celebrating those that have committed their lives to the Lord, water baptism, the announcement and pronouncement of faith in Jesus Christ. But I felt led to ask you this morning. You would say, Pastor, I'm going through an uproar. I've been through an uproar. And I need the peace of God on my life. If that's you in the house, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand right now? Pastor, I'm going through an uproar. almost every section. I'm going to do this. Would you, everyone in the house, lift your hands toward heaven. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray over you right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have invited us in. You've shared your heart and your word. And I pray, God, for those that are broken and hurting and in pain, those who are going through an uproar physically, mentally, emotionally, they've been damaged. Spiritually, they are fighting for their lives. I pray, God, that you would give them peace that passes all understanding. God, you would minister to their homes and to their families, to their children and their grandchildren. That you would honor them with your presence today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and amen, and amen.